The August 23rd, 2006 Board of Directors meeting of the Oceano Community Services District is hereby called to order. Roll call, please.
President Dahl.
Here.
Vice President Cal.
Here.
Director Angela.
Here.
Director Mann.
Here.
Director Hill.
Here.
Okay, if you'd all please stand and join me for the flag salute.
Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This takes us on to public comment. Would you like to introduce this? Or
Well, I don't want to introduce it, President Dahl, but I did want to make a short comment. At the meeting 2 weeks ago, there was a discussion by the board about the rules of order, and I made a comment to the effect that Robert's rules of order were adopted as part of the rules of order. That was incorrect. There's kind of a long explanation about why it's incorrect and how I made the error, but that's not really important. I made the error, and I just wanted to clarify it and apologize for any confusion it might have caused to the board or the public.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this is public comment.
Hi, my name is Bob Blair. I live in rural Rory Grandy, but I own a house on 19th Street, kind of catty corner from your corporation yard. What I'd like to do is see if I can get you people to change your billing. For, I think the tenant that's been in there has been in there more than 12 years, and I get the bill every month. I don't really need the bill. The tenant needs the bill. She calls you every month to ask you what the bill is, because I don't always get it over there to her. I have rental houses in a variety of places, and this is about the only place where the bill comes to the property owner. The property owners understand that if the tenant doesn't pay the bill, we're ultimately responsible. I mean, we're not going anywhere. I've had that house for 20-some years. It's paid for, and if somebody doesn't pay their water bill, I'm more than good for it. But it's a waste, really kind of a waste of time, because it comes to me, that never goes to her, and all the other rental houses I have, the bills go to the tenant. And the thing is, if for chance the tenant doesn't pay the bill, I can't turn the water off, because under the law, I've got to give these people in California 90 days notice. And if I go up there and turn the water off, I'm liable, especially if there are kids in there. But as a public utility, you people turn the water off, there's no problem. And that way they pay the bill. And that's usually the way it works with any kind of utilities for rentals just about anywhere. I know that you had the same attorney that they had over in Napomo, Mr. Sykes, and that was kind of his policy, because I don't think Mr. Sykes has ever owned a rental house or ever really appreciated what comes with owning them. But it wouldn't take much just to send these bills to the tenant. And I think the owners understand that we're liable, and we're not going anywhere. You can put it on our taxes. It's what you usually do if people don't pay. And I don't think it'd be that much of a change. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think if Mr. Blair comes in the office, we can give him a form to get the bill to the tenant.
Just everybody, usually all rentals, the tenant goes down and signs up for the thing, and that's usually the way it works. And if they don't pay, then they come after whoever they come after. Okay.
Thank you.
If I can comment, Mr. Blair brought up some really nice, good issues about the water bills and kind of a possible waste of paper. I know we've talked about it in prior meetings. And we've looked at it. Our board has acted on it in years past. But with what Mr. Blair just brought up, I'd kind of like to possibly look at maybe agendizing something for our next meeting to talk about that secondary water bill going out to the property owner. There may be some reasons why we shouldn't do that.
We have a program in place, I believe, that we do that if they request it.
Yeah,
it's $2. It's called a courtesy notice.
Is that so?
Yeah, I get one every month.
It's already done.
So then you're probably, Mr. Blair's probably paying that $2.
No, I don't know if apparently he's not. If he comes in the office, we'll give him the form.
You just pay something?
Yeah, it goes.
I was never aware of that, because no place else will have to go and do that.
The homeowner still, the owner still gets a notice.
It's a lot simpler over there. Sheriff throws them out in 5 days.
If you just call us, we can mail the form to you. It was described on a new billing format.
Okay.
It replaced the postcard.
It'd still be kind of neat to change it, I think. I mean, you're the only guys that I know that, does something like that with it. Because I don't really care what their bill is.
Anyone else?
Good evening, President Dahl, members of the board. My name is Mark Wampler, Oceano resident, and also candidate for this district's board as well. I want to thank, commend the board for once again bringing public comment back to the end of our meetings. We're halfway there. I'd like to see board member comments for discussion. Let's get that back at the first of the meeting. We're halfway there. I look forward to a very vigorous campaign. I believe that there is some passion. I believe that people are motivated now. The issues are getting out in the forefront. And I think, as well as many others that have ran in the past, a personal grind, axe to grind, has come to the forefront. And I've had mine, and it has compelled me to run. But I don't think that's enough. I think it takes more than just having a personal axe to grind to get into the race. And I think it's perfectly fair to ask what personal contributions each candidate has made to our community. And I take that very seriously. About a year and a half ago, I became aware that, like many other towns in our area, Oceano has its share of gang-related activity. And part of that has to do with graffiti vandalism. And I took that to heart, that I want my town to look good. I don't want to just cover it up. I want to make it disappear. And I've been working very hard to do that over the past year and a half. And Oceano is a town I'm proud of, and I want to stay beautiful. And again, I look forward to a very vigorous campaign, and may the best man win. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to address the board?
Yeah. Mary Lucy, Oceano Mail, Fax, and Copy Center. See, and resident, and a really happy person in town, actually. So I have two topics, so I need a point of clarification because they're two very different things. So how would you like to me to proceed, Mr. President?
May I suggest we take number one item first and then number two item second?
Sure.
That'll be fine.
Just a suggestion.
Okay, great. I come before you today to ask for your support and assistance, and I don't have to educate this body on the demographics of this town. We over at the Copy and Fax Center would like to do our very best to try and get it to be one of the utility pay centers. Right now, about 65% of the population in Oceano could really use a local utility pay center, whether you be a disabled person, a retired person, or a person who pays with cash, right? And at the current time, all the people who have to use pay centers have to go over to Grover Beach. And so I've written a letter to PG&E requesting that we have a neighborhood pay center in the Oceano area, and that we are able and bonded to accommodate those financial transactions in the most professional way possible. And I was informed by the neighborhood pay center that we were sufficiently covered. And so I come today before you asking for the OCSD Board of Directors' support in pursuing at least 5 utilities to come into the area, and that you take a board action in supporting a neighborhood pay center for your utilities. And I'm not going to list them off because I'm going to bring a draft letter to you before you, and then you can read the letter, and then I would ask you to sign on, and then I would send it out. Or you could send it out. However, whatever best the administration feels. So my request to you once again is your support in making a utility pay center in Oceano at the Oceano Mail, Copy, and Fax Center. the gateway to the dunes.
Mary?
Yes.
May, it would also, I think you should take the same request to Oceano Advisory.
Oh, most definitely.
For them to do it, and OIA.
Yes.
And so that would be more than, and maybe even the senior center.
Most definitely.
You know, to get more,
that's,
and individuals
that's,
could also
that's
send
really
letters.
Great input. And in fact, the Oceano Market, Valero Gas Station, has offered to put a petition at their counter for any clients who come in and would like to see this happen. I think the more information that we give them, the better chance that we have to bring the service to the community. And so that's one issue. Now the second issue isn't, you know. So I'd like to go back to the statement that was made in the beginning of Mr. Seamus's comment of misinformation. Am I allowed to speak on that?
I'm sorry. What do you want to speak on? On the
Mr. Seamus made a statement at the beginning of the meeting regarding Robert's rules,
right,
and
yeah.
the rules of order, and
yeah, sorry,
and,
continue.
And so. It's not me.
No,
I mean,
it's
my phone.
It's that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. All right. Okay. So, at the last meeting, I asked for a point of order from the audience, which means, kind of catch us up, tell us where we're at, you know. And there's confusion. Is my definition of point of order. Legal counsel advised the president that that he did not have to take that any point of orders from anybody who was not a sitting board member. So I'm asking if the misinformation was one, that action of the point of order, and if it could be clarified a little bit more, if it was my point of order, then, you know, just I'd like to know that. But if there was misinformation by mistake, I'm sure it was not intentional, you know, then maybe it needs to be clarified what is the proper information, you know, and has this body adopted Robert's Rules of Order?
Okay, I made no connection between
no,
what
you
she
didn't,
said
sir.
In the audience, and I don't think there was one between whether the body has accepted Robert's Rules of Order or not as to what your statement of point of order.
It was my comment, though, that triggered the discussion.
No, I don't believe.
Yes, it was.
It may have triggered the discussion, but the attorney's information on the fact that we have not adopted Robert's Rules of Order was not because of your statement, from what I understand, if that's your question.
I guess the only clarification I can offer,
The only clarification I would offer is, as I remember it, and I could be incorrect, she called for a point of order from the audience. I indicated that under Robert's Rules of Order, the only people that are allowed to call for a point of order are members of the body, and the members of the body is the sitting board. And I think the discussion headed off in a couple different directions, and it was following that I made the comment about Robert's Rules of Order being adopted for this organization. So it is related, a little bit tangentially, but it is related.
And okay, so then my question back to, well, is anybody here a parliamentarian? Because I don't know if you can answer this, but, you know, under Robert's Rules, you know, and I know this is minutia to most of the people who watch this on TV, but under that set of rules is a point of order, which means we need a clarification of to what's happening. Is it allowed to be asked from the audience or from a non-sitting person?
A point of order, under Robert's Rules, a point of order may only be raised by, and this is a quote, a member of the body.
Okay.
And the body is defined as the sitting
fine.
Board.
Okay.
Can a point of clarification not be asked by anyone?
You know, it is informally done all the time in all sorts of organizations, but it's the board's meeting. And so the board has its set of rules as to how it's going to run the meeting.
And Mr. Seamus, the only thing that I personally am doing is to try to follow the rules of this body and respect their rules. And so as I know them, then I can do that. So mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Would anyone else like to address the board at this time? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to item number 4, review and approval of the minutes. Any public comment on the minutes?
Thank you.
Okay. Any questions, comments, corrections from the board? Do I entertain a motion?
I move to approve the minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. We have no closed sessions tonight, which takes us on to item number 6, reports. The financial statements for July 31st, 2006, and the quarterly investment reports. Gina, you have any comments on these?
First 8% of our year, we have an excess of revenues over expenditures of $180,414.
Okay. Thank you. Any public comment on the reports?
They don't spend it.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions, comments from the board? Okay, unless there's an objection, received and filed. Hold on.
Aren't they going to discuss the quarterly investment report?
Yeah, that's next.
Oh, well, you turned it over.
I'm sorry. I thought we were doing them both together. Okay, quarterly investment report.
Okay, the quarterly investment report, the district's in good financial condition. The interest rates, as you can see, are increasing a little bit. And as I said, the district is in good financial condition. And I guess, Director Mann, you have a question?
No, I didn't have a question, but I noticed that the president at that point had turned it over. Oh. That was why I was, I thought maybe I had just not listened to something.
Okay, any public comment on the quarterly investment report? Okay, any questions, comments from the board?
Just
receive and file.
Just a note that's not in here that we are expecting another $245,000 coming in from FEMA. So that will be added to this, but it's not in this because we don't do it on an accrual basis. So.
But don't spend it till you get it.
No, we don't.
Is this the original amount that was
No, this is the sewer lines.
Okay, but not what was rejected and then come back. Okay. All right. Anything from anybody on the board? Okay. Unless there's objections, received and filed. There are no fire items tonight, which takes us on to utility items. Mr. Cooney.
Okay. You may have seen this before. This is our continuing disclosure concerning the earthquake that we had back in 2003. Recommended action is by board discussion, motion second, a roll call vote, and by 4/5 vote determined there is a need to continue the action. Later this evening, as part of communications received after the agenda was prepared, I have a letter from FEMA indicating we can start incurring costs on the repair of the sewer line. Department of Housing and Community Development. Thank you. Wrong department. it's all money. It pays for stuff we've already paid for. We've already done. Yes, but where we're going now is that let's just say we get in the middle of this sewer fix, and we break a sewer line. Well, we don't have to go through the bid process and all this other stuff to get it fixed. I mean, you know, we could have a total disaster on our hands while we're waiting through this period of time where we've got to, you know, to bring it to the board on a regular meeting, have the board approve it, do the bid process and all this. I mean, and meanwhile, we've got sewage spilling all over the place. It doesn't work. That's why we're declaring an emergency. We can bypass all that bidding process to get to repair something we need to fix.
I appreciate that, and I understand we're still looking to the Office of Emergency Services to fund basically our projects by somewhere around October, November. Is that still correct?
What?
OES or?
Oh, you mean for the water? Or what?
For water and sewer line. Again, I was wanting to get an idea of how long we expect this emergency to continue.
Well, as the appeal to FEMA is basically dead in the water. I mean, it's not going anywhere. I mean, we've provided them with material, and they just keep sending us information back to provide more stuff. I mean, we can see the handwriting on the wall. That what they're doing is papering us to death until we give up. And what we're looking at is that we need to, in a year's time, spend this Department of Housing and Community Development money. So that this does have an end point to it. This is part of this process that we're going through with the $1 million that we got from Community Block Grant Development Funds.
Call the question.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Anchel?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay, this takes us to item number 9, administrative items, Zone 1-1A Memorandum of Understanding.
Okay, before you this evening is a draft of a Memorandum of Understanding, and what the recommendation that I'm going to make to the board tonight is that the president appoint an ad hoc committee, and hopefully we can kind of get our arms around this with the other participants. There is another document floating around called the final draft. I don't know whose definition final is. And then today we got something else emailed to us. But for an example, the Memorandum of Understanding says that all governing bodies will seek input from their constituents. But there's no buyout. Say that the people of Oceano are strongly against an issue. Well, you know, I mean, so what? I mean, it doesn't change, you know, and everybody else is for it. It's going to move forward. And Oceano then is going to pay their, quote, proportionate share of whatever is done. Now, how is this proportionate share determined? It doesn't say, you know, what the proportion is. What is Oceano? You know, it can't go on population because one of the proposed signatories to this is the state of California. Well, you know, they would pick up 99% of the tab under those circumstances. So I don't know how this is going to be, quote, proportioned. And this is why I'm suggesting that we ask our president to appoint an ad hoc committee to investigate it internally to ensure that we're not doing something that is going to turn into, as I think Director Angelo aptly put it, another Zone 3. Where you know we're going to wind up with a lot of costs and no authority over those costs, and that some of these definitions are in place before we put our name on the line, rather than put our name on the line and then sit there and try to determine what we've gotten ourselves into.
May I say something just back?
Sure.
A number of Oceano residents are putting money into this because of the 218 vote, as the sanitation district is, and so that you are already paying some. Sanitation district, everybody in that is going to be paying a little bit. And the people that live on the creek, they're paying some of this. So I do think the residents care, and I could be wrong, but I think the money they're talking about is the money that they're getting from the taxes that are being leveled against this is a amount of money that they're talking about.
Actually, the Memorandum of Understanding says that the Memorandum of Understanding is funded with monies other than the proposition.
They're looking for grants and that?
It does say that, you know, what we're looking at is, and I agree with you, that there are people in Oceano who are paying this, but the problem is that if Oceano Community Service District were to get a bill for $5,000 to pay, I have no idea where that money would come from. I mean, what fund? These are all governmental agencies that are coming back and are saying are being asked to participate in, I guess, additionals. Because what they're saying is that this Memorandum of Understanding, it's very clear, the language in here is very clear, that the money will be from other than the Prop 213 or 218 vote, and that every signatory will pay a proportionate share. I don't know what that means. I don't know what they're talking about as far as, and I don't think, you know, if you ask anybody, I mean, you may get as many answers as you ask people, or people will be, because I don't have an answer to that. I couldn't even hazard a guess as to what a what Oceano's proportionate share would be.
Was there one or more of our board members involved on the committee that was putting this together?
I don't believe our board, any one of our board members, and I'm going to have to defer to both Director Hill and President Dahl, because they have served on Zone 11A, but I don't believe they were involved in the drafting of this document.
I know I was not.
During my tenure with the Zone 11A Advisory Board was up until January of this year, when President Dahl became president and he took over as the representative to Zone 11A. From the peripheral discussion I've heard of this in the interim, the memorandum of understanding was drafted by a committee, I believe a subcommittee of the Zone 11A advisory group, and my understanding is that it's marked draft, that each of the entities that are addressed in here could discuss this. Your suggestion of an ad hoc committee, I think, is a very good one, to look at this document, see where OCSD, for example, the cities have general funds and other sources of funding that OCSD doesn't have. And I share your concern about the mention of proportionate funding, and I also don't understand what that means in our context. And I'm concerned that our ratepayers might be charged for something if we agree to this, that we perhaps don't have any authority to any of the provisions in this memorandum.
I think another point is, and I thank you for that, but I think one other point is that next time that Zone 11A meets, I think that as far as these drafts go, I think we need to ask all the bodies collectively if there would be a period of time where everybody has a chance to review it and then submit their comments all at once, because we've been sort of sitting here, I've been kind of watching what some of the other people are doing. And some people have already adopted this. And now the difference between the draft that came out on the 18th is different than this draft. Now, I don't know what that means as far as people who've already adopted the draft that's in your agenda packet this evening. And now there's an additional draft that came out this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And I haven't even read that one yet, so I don't know what the difference of that one is. But I think that all the entities need to have a deadline to submit their comments so that they're all considered at one time, because what you're going to start to have is one group operating under draft A, one group operating under draft B, and I mean it's not going to work out if you're going to go that way. I mean you've got to have all the comments in one place at one time to be considered by everybody, you know? And that suggestion that this ad hoc committee present that to Zone 11A, because it's kind of being handled right now a little more piecemeal than I think sound operations would dictate.
Yeah, I think that as it stands, I don't think we legally can be involved in this, but maybe with the ad hoc we can figure out what we can bring to the table. This was my hope for the ad hoc committee. Anybody else got anything?
Public.
Yeah. Okay, any public comment on this item?
I think this is a very serious issue. The voters who voted in Proposition 218 were given assurances that the county version of the Rio Grande Cleanout Project would be roughly one-third that of the state version. And I know that I've seen the paperwork. Individual homeowners would be levied approximately $390 per year. Mobile home park owners between $11,000 and $18,000 per year. And now it seems like we have some backpedaling here. the voters aren't going to understand this very well, an ad hoc committee ASAP.
So I know the first one isn't going to be a very popular one, but if you look back on the history of this thing, you know, it all came from this flood that, you know, the gates broke and farmers sued and stuff like that. And a lot of the people who filed lawsuits when the levee originally broke are caught in this mix. And so maybe, you know, to save face or, you know, and not to mention, but it seems like the people who are most impacted by this are also the people who filed claims when it broke. And so I know that the people who are running it and doing the actual cleanup are incredible people, because I live across from the creek, but I live on the other side of the street. And I know that they really care about that creek, and they're working really hard to keep it clean. If they could go just a little bit further than 22nd Street Bridge, that would really be helpful to buy on, you know. But maybe a trust and a foundation where maybe some of the people who financially benefited from that original leak could put some money in the trust to kind of help bring this back home, because that's really the driving force for it leaving home to begin with. So does that make any sense? If you sued us, just give us a little bit of money back so we can clean the creek.
Okay, thank you. Is there any additional public comment? Okay, bringing it back to the board. Anything else from the board?
Just the comment that I appreciate Mary's comment. One of the things that the Zone 118 Advisory Committee was trying to do, several of our residents, as has been noted, has been very much impacted by this. The passage of the Proposition 218 vote meant that their taxes went way up to support the creek maintenance, still far less than the state of California would have charged. The state of California, the entity of the state of California that's involved in this MOU is not the Department of Water Resources, rather it's the Department of Parks and Recreation, because the creek flows through the state park, so they're an affected entity that way.
And fish and game,
yes, thank you. But not the Department of Water Resources, so there's no proposal here to bring the state. The state is excluded from applying for certain grants. However, local entities such as the county or the Resource Conservation District can apply for these grants. And so I would think that where at all possible, OCSD as for moral support, if nothing else, could support those grant applications and try to ease the burden of the people who would otherwise be paying under the 218. So it might offset that cost to a degree. So I think that's a potential valuable thing that we could contribute. But again, I think the ad hoc committee idea is a good one, and we could look into that and, you know, determine what we're actually able to bring to the table.
If I might add one other thing, I would hope that this ad hoc committee, when they're dealing with this, is that they certainly push to be sure that the insurance premium does not come out of the 218 money. As you know, we were promised that was not going to, the county was going to take care of the insurance, and then suddenly I've heard some other things, and I don't want to see the money from the 218 vote going to pay the insurance premiums. And you know, they use the money in Zone 11A to, quote, pay off what were really insurance claims the first time. I don't want to see that happen again.
I agree with you. Maybe President Dahl would have a comment on that, about the latest status of that with the advisory committee.
It's still being worked on, but it is also still in the budget to be paid.
And that is a direct misinformation was given to us then, and that needs to be publicly and loudly addressed, that we were told that the insurance premium was not going to come out of the 218 money. And, you know, it's wrong if it does. That 218 money needs to be used to clean the creek. County finds money when they need it. Let them find the money for the insurance. I'll get off my soapbox now.
Are those in claims you're speaking of?
Okay. All right. So, does anyone else here have anything to say on this? All right, we just go ahead and appoint an ad hoc. Okay.
I'll move that the president be authorized to appoint an ad hoc committee to review the proposed memorandum and return to the board with a recommendation concerning OCSD involvement.
Second.
Yeah, I'm not going to be around a whole lot.
Yeah, it's probably only going to meet once or twice. Would either of you gentlemen care to serve on it?
I think that Jim is better qualified than myself, having been on the Zone 11A, so...
I could, although I might suggest that, Vern, you have probably a more up-to-date perspective on it than I do.
Okay.
If you want to serve yourself, that's...
All right.
Might be an
advantage. I'll appoint myself and Director Angelo. Okay.
I know. I can hear you.
All right, that moves us on to item number 9B. This is a claim against the district.
I'm going to have to recuse myself from this as my nursery, Oceano Nursery, is within 500 feet of this drainage thing. Also, I am the one that brought up the lawsuit regarding January 1st and 2nd for my flood of Oceano Nurseries.
Mr. Kinney?
Yes. Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, there's a fairly detailed staff report, but you're all familiar with the pending claim involving Mr. Bookout, in which he's sued a number of parties, including the district, Union Pacific Railroad, State of California, the county, and Povey, over the flooding incidents that have periodically occurred outside his property. Following the filing of the complaint, Union Pacific Railroad filed a cross-complaint against the district, alleging that if, in essence, alleging that if Union Pacific is held liable, it's not really their fault, it's the district's fault. It's a complaint for indemnity, saying that if we're tagged for any liability, you should have to indemnify us against any loss we suffer. The claim that they filed doesn't really give an explanation as to why we should have to indemnify them. It simply says that we have that obligation, and they ask us to do it. And so, as with other claims that have been brought to you before, there is a six-month... the claim has to be filed within 6 months, and under some circumstances, 1 year. And the board is required to act on the claim within 45 days after presentation. There's three levels of action you could take. You could reject the claim if you find it to be without merit. You could allow the claim if you find it to be with merit, but the amount demanded is not or is reasonable. You could reject it in part if the claim has merit, but the amount demanded is unreasonable. Or you could reject the claim and seek to achieve some sort of compromise. We've reviewed the claim, and while Union Pacific has filed it within the statutory period, it doesn't give any explanation as to why OCSD should indemnify Union Pacific for any part of its liability under the pending complaint, and we don't think there is any liability under the pending complaint. And so consequently, our recommendation is that you reject Union Pacific's claim, and we'll arrange to provide the statutory notice to the administrative assistant to get out in the mail tomorrow.
Number one, without merit. You didn't add that.
Number one, without merit.
Thank you.
Okay.
Does
that include the, you conclude your report?
That's the report, yes.
Okay. I'd like to go to public comment first, and then we'll go to questions from the board. Public comment on this item? Okay. Bring it back to the board. Director Hill?
Would it be possible to get a copy of the actual claim, or is it some voluminous?
No, it is fairly brief, and That's one of the banes of doing things electronically. We forgot to attach the claim to the report when we forwarded it electronically to the staff to put into your agenda. But if we take a little break or at the end of the meeting, I'll be happy to run and make a photocopy of the claim and make sure it gets to each of you.
I appreciate that. Based on your discussion and that it's a claim for indemnity, it appears to me, I agree with you, that the claim is without merit. And I would move that we reject the claim.
Second.
On the basis that it has no merit.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Additional discussion. Anyone else have anything to add to this? Is there anything we may want to keep, any way we may want to go to keep a dialogue open with Union Pacific or not?
Well, there is a dialogue open with all the parties. The lawsuit is pending and proceeding. Today, they're in the land so that hopefully we can reach some sort of fair and equitable resolution of this.
Okay. Great. Anything else? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director
Angelo?
Yes. Okay. Do we need or want a short break? Or?
No. I'm going to go make copies. You don't have to wait on me.
Okay. All right, this brings us on to reports by district representatives. I've attended the Airport Land Use Commission meeting, and there were just a few items on the agenda, yet it ran extremely late. It was a very long meeting, mostly dealing with a issue or problem that came up in the Paso Robles area, and there was a request by the city of Paso Robles to approve some zoning, additional designations under some zoning rules that they had, and it was something that the Airport Land Use Commission did not want to approve, but could not figure out a way within their new airport land use plan not to approve it, so they did approve it. And there were some another change by the city of San Luis Obispo, and then there was some talk within, you know, going on as far as the Oceano Airport land use plan is going forward, and that has again been continued, which it probably will for a few more meetings as the public and the airport land use try to work out something that will that can be manageable and beneficial to both parties and still maintain the safety issues that the Airport Land Use Commission is concerned with. The next meeting for the Airport Land Use Commission is Wednesday, September 20th at 1:30 p.m. in the County Board of Supervisors chambers. Anybody in the public that has property on that side of town is probably a good idea to attend that. Get brought up to speed on what's going on.
Is this the time to ask you a question?
No, no. Later when we go to public comment on this, on everything. I also attended possible hazards that could damage the creeks before the first rains. And that cleanup is going to happen on September 30th. And anybody interested in being involved in that, volunteering their time or any possible equipment that they may want to volunteer, so they can contact Stephanie or Sarah at 473-8221. That phone number is, again, is 473-8221. There's also the memorandum of understanding was out again, and that's where we got the final notice, which I kind of labeled semi-final notice because I guess we've now got another one. It probably will change, I would imagine, a number of times. Again, there are other agencies interested in becoming a part of this memorandum. The Regional Water Quality Board is interested in it, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Fish and Game. So it's something that everybody's looking to try to try to see what we can do, you know, as a group together. And so that's why we, you know, if we can, we can look to see what we can bring to the table without putting us into any financial obligation. The budget was given to us from the county, and it looks like we're going to be spending between $56,000 to $70,000 for vegetation removal this year. There's going to be some going getting ready to be put aside for the main projects that are going to be coming up in the future. The California Conservation Corps is going to put about $70,000 worth of work into the creek. But as we talked about, there is still the insurance is still on the budget, and they're still working with county and staff there to figure out if that's going to be final or not. It's not a final budget. So that concludes legal to do that.
But you could use your backup.
But the you can't even go down there with a chainsaw. It's got to be specially lubricated with vegetable oil and all kinds of exceptional rules.
What can they possibly accomplish?
You pick up
mostly by hand. Mostly by hand and pulling out the trash and larger garbage before, in case people have thrown things away in the trash. We had a walk down the creek one time, and there was a car down there, and it looked like they'd been down there for months.
Refrigerators, tires.
And so it's it's something that pulls out a lot of large debris. They pulled out a tree stump that was laying in it at one point in time, which was what caused the washout on the bank here several years ago. And
they didn't move a tree stump out by hand, did they?
No, I don't. I think they got in with some kind of equipment or some kind of ropes or something down there and pulled it up from the bank, from being on the side of the bank. Yeah, but there's also, there's also creeks that other places in the county that you can. It's not as habitat sensitive you can get into to clean up. But anybody interested in helping out with that? Contact Stephanie or Sarah. I'm going to give that number one more time if you'd like, 473-8221. Any other questions? Okay, we're going to go with public comment on this item.
Mr. Dahl, maybe you could help me since you're the representative on the airport one. My understanding is that that they're having a lot of problems at the meetings with redundant questions all the time, so I don't want to go ask the questions there. But that when the Oceano plan was written, I guess about 5 years, the Pacific plan, that portion regarding airports and community development wasn't written to the specs of the federal government. And so I dare ask for clarification. But if that's true, have we gotten a hold of the engineer who actually wrote the report and to have it amended to be proper, if that's true? I mean, I don't know. I get it third hand.
Okay. Can I answer that?
Thank you.
Airport land use new thing is done, then the specific plan will have to be looked at again. Things will have to be changed in that. Whether they have to do the whole thing again or just the part that is affected by the airport, I don't know.
I know that the airport people, it's the people on Pearson.
I'm sorry, we can't hear that.
I mean, that's huge ramifications, in people's planning particularly for that street, and they went by that plan. Most things when they're adopted by bodies, they're time stamped, date stamped. So that should be pretty easy to figure out, you know, whether the chicken or the egg came first.
Now they say they didn't see it ahead of time, so they're doing their job now, and the county is then saying then the specific plan will have to be looked at again. I don't know, did they say we had to redo the whole thing or just part of it? I don't really know, but I know then it will come back. And yes, it is stinky that these people's lives and plans are disrupted, and I don't think there's anybody in Oceano that would disagree with you on that. And to overrule the Airport Land Use Commission on something, it takes a 4/5 vote of the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, I just hate to see the people and the businesses once again, you know. They were following the rules. Yeah. They were following the plan.
And the money that was spent on doing the plan the first time and the time that we all spent on that, maybe close to, 2 years?
And I think there's a liability for the consultants. They you know, have to guarantee their work. So.
Might be something down the road.
Okay, any other public comment on this presentation?
I can't help but to feel that we're on a collision course between the Oceano specific plan and the airport ordinance, and who's going to win this battle. It seems to me that the town of Oceano was organized as early as the late 1800s, as opposed to the airport coming into existence in the early 50s. The citizens were here first, and personally, I think the citizens need to take charge. And
during the course of our meeting, we did talk about the property owner rights dealing with the airport and the Coastal Commission once for Oceano community. Discuss safety, accidents on and around the airport, the number of operations per year at the airport, which is approximately around 3,000. We went into depth a little bit, or just general discussion, about the property owner's rights on Pier Street. That being said, I gave a fire department report for the month. Sheriff C.J. Bell announced that his transfer to headquarters, having ended his 2-year rotation. C.J. has been great for our community. He's been to a lot of our meetings. He's going to be leaving Oceano and going up to San Luis Obispo headquarters. And then he stated that he would like to come back in the next 2 years. Barbara and Mitch discussed an idea of a park for residents with bathrooms across from the Oceano Market, possible funding by the state parks. This has been a long-going discussion, getting money from the states to help improve Oceano. And we've talked, quite a little bit of, Barbara brought up a couple meetings ago about having other restrooms and parks and trash here in Oceano. It's a great idea, finding locations now if we're able to get that type of funding. One would be the park at the school as that goes forward to have on-site bathrooms. Our president, Arlita Wheeler, commented the need by the community center for commented on a need by the community center for a letter for a grant request for the following day to adult activities at the community center. It was decided to agendize this for the next meeting, September 18th. Apparently Arlita talked to the community center, and they needed a letter immediately, and we were unable to do that as we didn't have a chance to agendize it. We did discuss a little bit of Zone 11A, and our bylaws were discussed, suggested final draft brought to the next meeting. Any questions?
Okay.
Overcoming that, and I think that is really commendable. My question is now the retail area from Oceano downtown, is that now extended out to that car lot now, or is that just a variance at this point? Anywhere? In other words, if I understand correctly, the reason that that was denied originally was because the car lot was outside the commercial retail downtown zoning.
Mark, that's not part of my report.
Yeah. Well,
there's nothing in there. That's not my deal. So,
yeah. Okay. Well,
this is public comment on this report on the Oceano Advisory Council.
Well, okay. Well, this maybe I'm backpedaling to the previous. If I didn't comment previous, but take it for free then, man. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Any other public comment on Bill's report of the Oceano Advisory Council? Okay, any questions, comments from the board? Okay, thank you, Bill. Director Angelo.
We had a fire committee the other night, and we got a letter from the county asking about a piece of property on Ocean Street, and I think we're going to send back the recommendation that they are required to put all weather road in to serve the back parcel that they're wanting to plot split. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then we also talked about the consolidation work. The meeting of the technical committee was canceled, and we talked about where that might be going, and the possibilities of buying some joint equipment, namely a ladder truck that would be shared between the entities in the South County here. And we really don't have any numbers, but I think we're just kind of talking amongst ourselves there to figure out how Oceana would pick, what their share would be in the whole scheme of things, and what kind of dollars they're looking for our share. And we really didn't come up with anything because we don't know how that's going to be determined. And pretty much that was about it. It was a fairly short meeting.
Okay, thank you. Any public comment on Director Angela?
You know, so that there's an address so that they know where this fire would be. Is that not what we asked? We thought
well,
about asking.
We discussed that, yeah. That's
pretty. Yeah. That's
although,
all I have to add.
Although the one thing, what was used for an example, Strand Alley and Strand Way,
yeah,
which has now become Strand Avenue, it's kind of confusing when you name it the same as the street in front of it. I wouldn't recommend doing that.
Well, they could call them Alley A, B, C, or whatever. I mean, there are towns that have streets that are letters or numbers or whatever. But something, yeah. Needs to make something. Please?
Let's have an alley naming.
Let's get the county to say they'll do that first, I guess.
Okay. Does that conclude your report?
Yeah.
Okay, public comment on Director Mann's report. Any questions, comments from the board? Director Hill?
Nothing.
Mr. Cooney?
Meeting was canceled.
Okay. That takes us on to item number 11, board member items for discussion. Who'd like to start? Director Hill?
I understand that the report that we'd had from Mrs. Maldonado that she was concerned about the quality of the water at her property, and I know that Phil and the water department crew responded to that. We took some samples, and Mitch, could you tell us a bit about the result?
Well, I think that Phil did the work.
Yeah, we collected a physical sample and sent it to the lab for analysis, and it was consistent with the rest of the system. We really didn't find any problem.
Okay. I appreciate the response that everybody took on that, so thank you for that.
Director Bookout?
No.
Director Penn?
The Tri-County's Blood Bank will be here this Friday, August the 25th, from 2 to 7 p.m. Blood is needed. Fire department will be out there to hold your hand, I guess. And so please, if you're able to give blood, please come down here and do it between 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. on
Friday, August 25th. That's all I have.
Director Angelo?
I have nothing.
I have nothing also. Any public comment on board member items for discussion? We are on item number, we have just finished item number 11. We are now moving on to item number 12, consideration of the warrants.
We need to pull one warrant item for separate consideration, and that is on page 7, the Kirk and Seamus warrant, and then Director Bookout.
On this one here, I'll have to recuse myself as it does pertain to my nursery, Oceano Nursery, and the flooding incident that happened there for the last January 1st, last 3 years actually, all the way back to 2004. So I'll just have to recuse myself there.
Okay, are you going to, you want to recuse yourself and step down, or are you going to stay at the desk?
I talked to Alex, and I believe I can sit up here, recuse myself from that vote.
Okay.
But still stay.
Yeah, you would take up all the other items first, obtain an approval, and then deal with that one item, and I assume it'll go fairly quickly. so I don't think there's any need to step down.
Okay, any public comment on the consideration of the warrants?
Ready for a motion?
I will entertain a motion.
I move that we pay all the bills at this time except Seamus' bill.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Additional comments? Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries 5-0. Okay, we have one item left to pay.
With that, to make it easier, I'm going to go get another cup of coffee.
There you go.
Without all the editorializing about the Seamus check, I move that we pay the legal bill.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carries 4-0.
I do have one question about one item on there. On page 7, we have a premium payment to Blue Cross. How long is that? Is that a 1 month, a 3 month, a 6 month in the annual premium?
It's a 1 month premium. However, this amount is greater than normal because we added a new employee and they backfill us.
Okay. I'm sorry. I really apologize. I didn't have time to eat dinner before I got here. You know, it's election year. We should all be excited, you know, because lots of things happen during election year. But what I'd really like to see happen in this election year that makes Oceano, OCSD in particular, stand out from the rest of people is that you try to be kinder and gentler and more respectful during the election time, because it has a tendency to get really, really nasty, very, very competitive, and very territorial. And sometimes we say things about other directors in public meetings that really shouldn't be said in public, that maybe it should be kept behind closed doors. So being an election year, I ask really if we could just stick to the ethics, stick to the issues, and try to set an example for the rest of the United States of America that we can run a clean campaign without attacking people personally. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? All right, thank you for your comments. Moving on to item number 14. Any written communications?
Yes, we received a letter from HUD O'Kane that we incur limited activity delivery costs for the sewer repairs that we're doing. And also last meeting, we handed out a notice that Colonel Weinstein will be the commander of Vandenberg Air Force Base will be having a talk at the regional center, but that has been canceled. He has some missile launch activity, whatever that means.
Oh boy!
So that has been canceled for the August 24th.
Okay.
Is he going to Korea?
Pardon?
Is he going to Korea?
I don't know where he's going.
Okay. Any questions, comments on that? Public comment? Okay. We're adjourned.